Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to a quick and fun travel escape? Enjoy public art outside, or outsider art inside, and refresh your sense of history with awe-inspiring parks and museums. Vicksburg is the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Bunkley.
That would be really weird.
Not Bunky.
There's an important distinction to be made there.
No, we're not Bunky.
As we've seen, Bunky, Louisiana is...
It's a real place.
And their high school football team is on a tear. Did I mess up your camera?
I don't think you did. I think when I was cleaning up the peanuts earlier, I made
a tap. Peanut shells just all over the place.
Somebody got my peanuts.
I got my bag of
my pizza popcorn peanuts here that I like to snack on every now and then. I went to move it and it was open. And I know I sealed that bag last night that was eaten out of.
We have a squirrel in our midst.
A squirrel?
Somewhere.
Well, what is this? Tadsmith Coliseum?
Exactly.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The holidays are coming up. Order it. Order it for your family.
Yes.
Yes. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. Speaking of the holidays, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, even if you're not a state fan, you're probably an Ole Miss fan. College Corner is the place to go for everything. Maroon and white.
And red and blue, I guess. That's fine.
Eh. Black Friday's coming up. They're going to have a great special on Black Friday, but as the holidays get closer, you're thinking about what to put under the tree. Think about College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowway by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. If you want to get lunch in the city of Starkville, you want to go to Restaurant Tyler. That's the best blue plate in town, maybe even in the state of Mississippi, maybe even in the South. It's really good. It's really, really good. I enjoyed eating there. Ate there last week. We'll be back very, very soon. Hope to see you there. Hope to see you there, Robbie.
Well, you did see me there.
I did see you there.
We didn't even plan to go to Restaurant Tyler together. We both went separately.
We just ended up there.
We went at the same time and everything.
Yeah, I played for keeps.
It was crazy.
Yeah, there you go.
We're both on the same page.
We usually are.
But, yep.
I thought you were like making a gesture there. You were just moving. Okay.
I talk with my hands. I'm very Nick Saban-esque whenever I talk.
Can I get an eye?
That's where the comparisons stop.
Yeah.
We talk with our hands and that's it.
You're much taller.
Exactly. The comparisons stop.
Okay. All right. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where they're located, but they're going to show you how to invest, how to manage your money, how they're going to help you plan for the future. Now more than ever, you need to have quick answers when you have questions about your money. Priority One Bank can provide that for you. They provide a level of service you can't get at those big corporate banks. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It's Tuesday. It means we're talking Jeff Levy press conference. We're going to do our SEC picks. We must address the elephant in the room, though. And I will get that right now. If you're watching us on YouTube, first off, we appreciate you tuning into that. However, it's just a video. Surely there's not any software or anything that you can, help edit a video with. Until that's invented, if you want to hear from future Brian to tell you about what happened at Mississippi State's college basketball opener tonight against West Georgia, only available on the audio version of the podcast.
We will get that rectified soon.
It should be the next week. We should be good to go. And we'll have some new features here on the podcast. I'm going to put a filter up that makes my face much more attractive. Because I know we've been getting a lot of complaints about that. Like,
yes,
the podcast was great, but Hey Dad is just hideous.
Well, I don't know what they expected. I mean, for both of us,
I think maybe like one.
Do you expect us to be good looking?
No, it's just all me though. Everybody's like, Robbie's a handsome young man, but
no,
but you know,
stop.
Hey Dad,
I was so scared to click this.
It looks like someone opened the Ark of the Covenant
and melted.
Yeah.
What
are you scared to click? Don't click links that you're scared to click in my office. I don't need that showing up on the records.
It's on our message board. Who are you voting for? Our message board is like, no.
I saw that earlier today.
It's this chicken restaurant.
I was just like, I can't believe someone. And then I looked at it. I was like, okay.
It's a bully. You're trolling.
Yeah, it was all chicken tender places. Did you vote for your favorite?
Bigger
cult, Trump or Keynes? I don't know the answer.
Let's look at what we got here. Oh, this is...
What's winning?
Let's see.
It's got to be Popeyes.
I mean, they're not really all created equal, are they? Like,
well, I mean, there's differences. There's chicken tender restaurants and there's chicken restaurants.
Okay, well, I went with Popeyes because of the variety.
Yeah, Popeyes is
the. It has 14 votes out of 120. Canes is number one. 38% of the vote goes to Canes. Chick-fil-A is number two. Chick-fil-A is probably would probably be my number one. That's where I go more than any of these other places.
Mm. And second.
Well, I mean, Popeyes to me is a more complete restaurant outside of the fact that if you ask for boneless chicken, you might get bone chicken, or you
it's
might
part
get
of the ambiance.
It's a mystery box.
Yeah.
You don't know exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, I might ask for red beans and rice, and I get half macaroni and cheese and half mashed potatoes. They just come in the bowl together. Like, we're just going to give them a scoop of mashed potatoes and a scoop of mac and cheese.
There you go.
And instead of the red beans and rice,
it's delicious.
What did you see the one that time where the chicken sandwich thing was like such a craze?
Yeah.
And did you see that video of the time where these two cars were like converging in the lane? One of them was trying to brake, and the guy literally they had one of the barriers up,
yeah,
to keep people on each side. The dude scraped the barrier as hard as he could just to get in front of this person to get a chicken sandwich.
The chicken sandwich is good. It's good. I'm gonna read a quote.
I put in one time and it was not even cooked.
Well,
so
that's not good.
That's another Popeye's ambiance. It may be cooked, it may not be cooked.
I was in there the other day. I'm not making this up. This guy brought his chicken and he said the chicken was green. Now, I don't know about that. And then he was like, I don't know what happened, but next thing I know, I hear, stop filming me. And he's like, I'm going to go call the police. Call the police then.
Which has probably been stated, 100,000 times to the Popeyes.
Car and they're trying to get his license plate number and all this. And I'm just like.
The just, customer?
Yeah.
Oh, so the Popeyes people turned it on him.
Oh, yeah, they turned it around.
Oh, man. You can't beat them.
Yeah.
You really cannot beat them.
Before we go any further, before we talk about Jeff Lebby's press conference. Oh, anyway, long story short, if you want to hear Future Brian.
This segment is longer than Jeff Lebby's press conference.
It is. Us
talking about Popeyes.
It is. I'm going to read a quote to you. I want you to tell me who said this.
Okay.
College football coach or jeans page poster? Here we go. In most cases, the people who are being negative and voicing their opinions are the same ones who can't pay their own bills.
I'm going to say that, very likely that it was a poster, but I'm going to say it's a college football coach.
It was Mike Gundy at today's press conference.
There you go.
So, but if you had told me that it was Ivan Skavinsky-Skavar or whatever.
The thing is, I could see Mike Gundy being a message board poster.
Absolutely.
On that site.
100%. So, all right. Let's get into Jeff Lebby today. Started off talking about Josh Heupel, his great respect for Heupel.
Skavinsky. How many times did that guy threaten to leave? Like, we finally got to the point where we were like, I don't know about the other people that were working with us, but me and Paul talked about it. We're like, we finally were just saying, should we implement that rule that
Rule 14
that Six Pack has?
Yes.
Where if you say that you're going to leave, you're out.
And you got to ban them by email address or something where they can't get back in.
Like IP address, you're out.
Well, IP address doesn't work anymore
because he would say, this is my last day, I'll see y'all later, and then the next day he's got a different name and he's back. It's just crazy.
Did I say something bad about poor old State?
I don't remember that.
Okay, there's sarcastics on there, so I'm sure he's just messing around. I don't know what I said though.
You'll have to ask.
I'll find out. Jeff Lebby. So let's get in. Let's try to, you know. As positive as you can be with a 2-7 football team that's staring 2-10 right in the face, I will say this. Lebby, to me, has remained positive throughout this. You know, when Moorhead was taking adversity, it was obvious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the tone of his press conferences. Arnett, after week two, you could tell he was drowning up there and had no idea what to say. And so the tone of Lebby's press conferences have been the same every week. And it goes back to when we talked about when he got the job, that he's just been kind of building to this point. When he was hired, clearly he was the next guy to be hired, right? It was his time to be a head coach.
Yeah.
Same way it kind of was with Mullen when it was his time.
I feel like he probably would have got a job if it not been in Mississippi State. I feel like
he would have gotten a job in this last cycle.
Yeah. And his time at Oklahoma seemed like it was going to be done after all the stuff with Art Briles, all that.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. Like, there's something about the guy. You just can't, like, get him flustered, you know? And, like, I don't think any of us have tried. We haven't been hard on him or anything like that.
There hasn't been a time where I had a question where I was like, he's not going to like
it. Yeah. But, I mean, he's one of those people who's like, he doesn't allow you to get the best of him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't allow the noise to get to him.
Mm-hmm.
He is a... You know, I mean, he's just measured. Like, you can tell that he is not, he probably isn't even going to listen to a lot of people about a lot of different things,
mm-hmm.
which is what we saw with, I think we saw that with Moorhead some, and definitely with Arnett. Mm-hmm. They just put their trust in
too
many people.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't think that's him. I think he's, but at the same time, I think he's reasonable enough. Like, if he sees something that needs to change his way of thinking, he'll do it.
Right.
But yeah, every press conference.
He showed that in the Texas game where he slowed down the tempo and everything else.
But I think every press conference is, for the most part, it's kind of been the same. I mean,
No, there's no question about that. It's like
we didn't learn much at all. We don't learn much at all at these things.
Right.
But, you know, it's. I do think we've learned a little bit about his relationship with his quarterbacks
mm-hmm.
the last few weeks, though. Like that.
Yeah.
When he talks about his quarterbacks, I think that's as open as he's been.
I agree. And I asked him about Van Buren today. I asked him, I phrased it basically like, because I wanted to talk about him and Heupel at the same time. They recruited Dylan Gabriel to Central Florida. And I was like, what are some characteristics that he shares with Van Buren at this stage? And he went through them. But that was probably the most, you know, I don't know if I'm not saying he lit up when I asked that question. But I am saying,
kind of did.
Well, yeah, he was happy to talk about something other than, you know, hey, your team's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So that was. I thought we got a good, insightful answer out of him on that one.
Well, I think he does see, like, Gabriel's been my comp for Van Buren, you know, from the start. I see a lot of similarities, and I think he does too, Jeff Lebby. I think he sees a lot of similarities in the two, and I think. I think that's why he's talked about he's been hard on Van Buren, at least from you know, demands.
He talked about that. He's like, he needs to play better, and I think the average fan would look at it and go, wow, he's played really well.
Yeah.
And Levy's telling you that there's more to his game.
Last week he said, you know, everybody's talking about how great he is and all the great things he's doing as a freshman, which is his age has changed several times when talking about Van Buren for whatever reason, but. You know, he's a freshman. He's like, one time he was 18.
He's like a Dominican baseball prospect. That age just keeps changing every time we talk about it.
Carlos from the Benchwarmers.
Yeah.
He's going to have a sheet of paper with a picture of him on there with a $20 bill like they did on Benchwarmers. No. He talked about last week, you know, everybody's talking about how great this kid is. And he's done some really good things, but all I can see is how much better he can be.
Right.
Like, there's so many things that he's got to do better. And one of the things that he talked about, and I think this was a great point that he made after the game on Saturday, is a lot of things get said about offensive linemen. And this is coming from a person that played offensive line
mm-hmm.
and was going to play at a very high level in the Big 12 before he got injured. And who knows beyond that, but he knows that offensive linemen as good as anybody. Offensive linemen get blamed for a lot of sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always black and white like that. It's not always that the offensive line didn't protect. Sometimes it's a coverage sack. Sometimes it's, teams are just, they got everybody locked down the field and there's nowhere for the quarterback to go. In this case, the other day, before they even watched film, he talked about how a lot of that was on Michael Van Buren. He's trying to move the pocket and he's running into sacks, or he hasn't quite figured out the pocket presence thing. And that's one of the things that he's working on. He was asked at the press conference what he saw and if it was kind of the same. And then, he thought after they watched the film that it backed up what he thought during the game. So that's a few of the things. I think we're already seeing Van Buren develop before our eyes. I thought he handled things really well at Texas and Georgia, but you could still see some things. I brought up a few weeks ago, I would love to see him progress a little more in the run game, and how he's, spying the defense, and he's pulling like he did the other day. He scored a touchdown. You're seeing him develop a little bit as far as the read option's concerned, making his progressions. Now it's kind of like the pocket thing, like knowing when to move up in the pocket, step up and make a play, get out of the pocket, extend the drive, things like that. That's what they're working on right now with him. And I think what's been really cool was to kind of see the relationship that Van Buren has with Jeff Lebby dating back to his high school days. And I asked Van Buren about that after the game the other day, and he talked about just the way that Lebby approaches him and coaches him shows that he cares. It's not, he doesn't seek him out and tell him about everything bad that he's doing. I get the sense that Lebby truly, he coaches these kids, especially at the quarterback position. He coaches them instead of yells at them, or like what we saw the other day with ULM with their offensive line coach. I think that's my biggest takeaway right now is, he has a really good relationship with a lot of these guys. And that goes back to your point that you made coming in, like he's remaining positive. That's where you have to be right now. You can't turn this thing into a dumpster fire in the locker room. You've got to maintain some stability in there. Give them, like he says, a consistent voice. As often as we hear some of the stuff he says, that's just like over and over and over, I think that is important to remain the same through the wins and the losses.
And that leads us into the sign, which is brought to you by our good folks over at Pip Printing and Signs, who want to remind you that they say they can serve every business. Every business has got a path with Pip Printing and Signs. I've been saying path a lot lately because we're talking about the playoffs a lot. Your path should lead you to Pip Printing and Signs if you're a business owner, because they're the best and they can get your message out easier, faster, more concise, and more attention-grabbing than anybody else can. Call Cam Baker and tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning, that you want your business to have the experience and the know-how of Pip Printing and Signs behind them. And best of all, if you're a Mississippi State fan, 10% of your sale directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. When you need printing, call Pip today. So, for me, the sign was this. We asked him about Heupel, a couple questions about them. I think you had the second one. And it's obvious that he has a ton of respect for him. He said that as much. He said that I have more respect for him than almost anybody else in this business. I think he's probably not had, Heupel's first year, I think they went to a bowl. I think they were 6-6. So they're having a little bit more success. But at the same time,
At Tennessee?
at Tennessee.
Yeah, and you could see they were making some major strides.
I
They were
think,
competing with Alabama a little bit.
I don't think that he's on the same path as Heupel. He's a little further down. I don't know. His year two at Mississippi State might look like Heupel's year one at Tennessee, but that's the path that Jeff Lebby wants to emulate. He wants to do at Mississippi State what Josh Heupel has been able to do at Tennessee. That's how he's going to try to run his program.
Yeah, and it's going to be a little tougher. They have, the resources are not anywhere near the same stratosphere, but I think they're very similar guys. I mean, Josh Heupel is not a media darling by any means, or, controversial figure. He's a football guy that loves coaching football, that loves developing quarterbacks, runs an exciting offense. And, these are two guys that came up together around the same time. I think he might have been a year or two before Lebby at Oklahoma. Whenever he was coming up, he was quarterback at Oklahoma. I think I think he was late 90s or maybe 2000, and I think Lebby came in a couple years later. But they did coach together whenever Heupel started his coaching career. He was a GA, and Lebby talked a little bit about their relationship coming up together. Lebby's a student assistant who had his football career ended, and that, I mean, he went straight into coaching when he was in college. Like he got a head start, and Heupel had just finished college, coming in, and he was coaching after his professional career, and those two just hit it off. They were, matter of fact, they were in the same office together, and he talked about just everything that they had kind of bounced off of each other. He learned a lot from Heupel, and Heupel even learned some things from him. And then, of course, coached with him at UCF. They coached against each other. They know each other very well. They run similar styles offensively. They and I asked him, like, how much do you take from what he's done there? Because Tennessee was in bad shape, like really
Really
bad
bad
shape,
shape, yeah.
and they had been in bad shape for quite some time. And Heupel has now brought them back to where they feel like they should be, competing for a playoff every year, competing to be inside the top 10. And I think Lebby sees a lot of what he's doing, and he's trying to implement the same way.
And if he can do that, Mississippi State's going to be in a good spot because, I mean, Tennessee is now one of the top programs in college football. They will probably be in the college football playoff this year. They could have, they had a great chance to be in it 2 years ago. Josh Heupel, to me, we talked about this the other day. When you go back to the 2018 coaching cycle where State got Moorhead and then all these, so many bad hires and that. Heupel just getting promoted at Central Florida was the best of the bunch. You know, it makes you think, gosh, if State had gotten ahead of the curve on that one and brought in Heupel, he probably brings Lebby with him. And then if Heupel does take a better job after 3 or 4 years, Lebby's just there to promote.
And Tennessee hired Jeremy Pruitt, which is
Yeah.
arguably the worst hire of that entire.
Incredibly, in the SEC that year, you had three hires. You had State, Arkansas, and Tennessee. And somehow State, firing with a guy they fired after 2 seasons, had the best hire.
And
Moorhead was better than Pruitt and Chad Morris.
Arkansas and State both hitting the, well, I guess it was Tennessee too. Didn't they all make coaching changes at the same time twice? Did Tennessee make a coaching change in 2020?
So,
2019,
yeah,
2020?
well, Heupel's first year.
Or was he 21?
I'm trying to remember.
Pruitt might have got one
Pruitt
more.
got canned at the end of COVID, so
He
he
got one more
maybe
year.
won, yeah.
Yeah. So, but Arkansas and State same time twice.
Yeah,
That's
it
crazy.
is. So that's the sign, again, brought to you by Pitt Printing Signs, that Jeff Lebby would like to, I mean, and I don't think Mississippi State fans will be mad. Again, I think he's a year behind it. Year two for
State
Tennessee
State's a
Mississippi
much
State.
bigger rebuild. Just
And I don't know that. I mean, do you have a Hendon Hooker?
yeah.
Because that's a guy that nobody was talking about. Blake Shapen could have been that guy if the defense is a little bit better, I think, and he stayed
Well, you
healthy.
know, Van Buren might be your Hendon Hooker next year.
Well, I'm just talking about like in terms of
I just don't know
they brought
how.
in a transfer that nobody was talking about, and they turned him into the best quarterback in the country.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if you got that or not.
But I think what Heupel and I would put Lane Kiffin and Lebby in there too is they just their misses at quarterback are almost nil.
Yeah.
Like they just
They don't
they
miss.
know what they're looking for in a quarterback, and they're hitting every time. I mean, how many times have you seen a five-star or a four-star kid come in that you feel like you're just going to be studs and they don't ever do anything? Well, that's
Right.
happened at Mississippi State a lot.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't feel like those guys miss. I mean, Nico has had his issues, but the kid's a redshirt
You can
freshman.
see the talent.
Yeah, he's going to be
And then
really good.
with Ole Miss, like when Dart's gone, you can see that
I
Simmons
can see
is,
Austin Simmons sliding in
he is a
because
stud.
I mean we talked about like what are they going to do after Matt Corral's gone
Yeah, they
and
went and got Dart.
Dart,
And
Dart wasn't super impressive at USC. He lost his job there. He was a five star, but he gets in there and immediately is making a difference for
Yeah.
them. And I think that's
And
going to
then
happen at State, at Tennessee, and at Ole Miss
yeah.
every year.
Next year, Ole Miss will either have Simmons, who I think is going to be a really good player, or they'll go to the portal and they'll get another good quarterback because people want to play in that offense. So we'll
It
see how
just
that goes.
works. This offense is quarterback centric,
Yeah.
and they make it work. They get the best out of it. And
Yeah.
even people have asked us, like what's the season look like if Blake Chapin is healthy? I don't think it changes.
It's not any different.
I think the offense, could have been better. I don't know, but I don't think he would have been worse than Van
You
Buren.
might have found a way to beat A&M.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think Chapin would have been perfectly fine.
Yeah,
I
he might.
didn't find anything wrong with what he was doing.
That's why I think there's going to be a real quarterback battle when we go to the spring.
Hopefully he stays.
Yeah.
That's best case scenario for you is you keep Blake Chapin, because it is a little bit of a concern, because now you have a guy that it's tough to see Van Buren giving that spot away now. But if you can convince Blake Chapin to stay, that's one less issue that you have to worry about, and you have a legit quarterback battle next year.
Let's move into our SEC picks. It's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Whatever you're cooking out this weekend, make it beef. Put some steaks on the grill. It's the weather, it's not quite cold enough out there to say it's chilly weather yet, but we're getting close enough. You can at least get the
Not at
pot.
all yet,
Yeah.
but
We're still in the 80s. That's fine.
sometimes I try to will
Yeah.
the chill in the air
Yeah.
into existence.
Yeah.
Like, all right, let's just start cooking chili,
You need that video you did for like Southerners when it rains. You need to do one for Southerners when it gets cold. You
Exactly.
just, you just,
It,
yeah.
like immediately you put on a sweatshirt, it's like, oh,
Like
well, I mean, it's 82
you walk
degrees.
outside, you walk outside, you come back in, you go back outside, you got a sweater on, you got a fleece pullover on, you're like, it's time.
The second the humidity drops,
That's when you start
because
feeling.
right now, like 75, 80 degrees does not feel like it
Oh,
did
it's
last
still,
month.
yeah.
So, yeah, when you start pulling the chili out,
That's when it's time.
it's time.
So do it. Maybe we all work together. We can have it. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food you are looking for. As we were in the Cotton District today, I looked and they were in fact still closed on Monday. I don't know what to do. I thought we told them to be open, but they weren't.
We just sat outside with the boom box
Yeah.
that John
Yeah.
Cusack did.
In your eyes, the
Your
light,
eyes.
the heat, your eyes. I am complete. Yeah, we needed that. I would do
That's
that.
a great song.
Yeah, it was
Peter
fantastic.
Gabriel.
Yeah. Better than Ezra did. A fantastic cover of
They
it.
did.
Yeah, check that out if you
I
haven't.
forgot all about
There you
that.
go.
Sledgehammer still number one Peter Gabriel song.
Yes, I agree with that.
Which was, I believe, the first music video on MTV, right?
No. Now,
Was it
MTV had been
not?
around for like 5, 6 years when that came out.
Had it?
The first music video on MTV was Video Killed the Radio Star.
So what was the what did what did the, it was the first something on MTV.
What was his first solo?
No, I think it was the there was something about it that was like
Maybe it's like the
first.
first with that animation style.
It could have been.
I don't know. We say all that to say that the food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats is outstanding. And if you like Peter Gabriel or if you don't, you'll still like the food at Two Brothers and at the older brother, the home of the fancy sandwich. Our ad reads today have just been incredible.
Well, sometimes you gotta.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50.
50! When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service on something they've sold you, it's just a click away. Or a click away. It's just a call away. Talk to the same people who made you the sale. They treat you like a neighbor, not a number at Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall or starting up this winter, you need to head to Maroon & Co. If you're in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, Maroon & Co. is the place to go. They've got a bigger and better selection than anybody else. They are the exclusive providers for the Bulldog Initiative. So if you want the hoodies and the pullovers and the polos you see the coaches wearing all the time, you can only get them at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 for 15% off any regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you're at the games, make sure you're at Maroon & Co.
Sledgehammer was the most played music video on MTV ever.
There it is.
That's
Okay.
what the that's
Okay.
what it
I
was.
can believe that too, because
Yeah.
that's like
It was a very interesting.
that was before your people took MTV away from us in Vicksburg. So,
My
your
people.
people. Oh yeah.
Who are my people?
You know who I'm talking about.
I do.
You do.
Who are my people?
The church you belong to.
The Baptist?
Oh, they took it away.
He took MTV away from Vicksburg?
Yeah. They complained about it.
Let me just say that my dad is a Baptist preacher and introduced me to AC/DC.
Well, he was one of the good ones.
Yeah, I mean, like, my mom was the one that you have a beef with.
I would never have beef with her.
She threw away my Ozzy Osbourne CDs, my AC/DC CDs.
She probably did that because you did something.
And then my dad would put me back in the car and we'd go to Walmart and buy another one.
There you go. All right. I am four games out in the Pick'em contest. I am starting to drown here. So Robbie has been kind enough.
And Brian can't say that I've been playing defense because first in the Ole Miss game the other day.
Yeah. So,
and picked Ole Miss.
So he's going to pick first in all the games going forward. All right. And then if I catch back up, maybe we'll change it up. But let's just jump right into it.
Next year, we need to keep up with our actual record just to see how accurate we are on the picks.
Okay. I'll be down for that. We'll do that next year. All right. Florida at Texas. Billy Napier did say today he thinks that DJ Lagway could be available for this game. I don't think it makes a huge difference, though, Robbie. I'm willing to pick first in this one. Because we're both going to take Texas to win.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I feel very good about that. But I will say Florida is not the dumpster fire that we thought they were going to be.
They're okay.
Keeping their head above water.
They're kind of like State. They keep fighting.
And, like, I just don't see I don't think they're going to fire Billy Napier at this point.
No, I don't think so either. I think he's back. All right. Number 2, Georgia at number 16, Ole Miss. The Bulldogs are a 2.5-point favorite. 2:30 kickoff at Vaught-Hemingway. Obviously a massive, mahoosive game. Ole Miss wins, and they have a pretty clear path to the college football playoff. A loss would basically eliminate them. Who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Georgia in this game. They've been playing very mid for the better part of this year, but almost every time their backs are kind of against the wall, so to speak, or people start counting them out, that's when they really start to turn it up. Like, that's like their, like, jolt. I don't know, like, how Kirby Smart does it, but he convinces them that everybody's against them. Nobody thinks they're going to win games. The best thing that could possibly happen to them this week is ESPN FPI saying that they have a 45% chance of winning this game.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that Kirby Smart has that on a PowerPoint today in the team meeting. Look, I told y'all, nobody believes in you, and that's going to be the difference.
Okay.
They're going to be motivated to win this game.
I will say this.
What was the game a few weeks ago where they play Tennessee? Who did they play a few weeks ago?
Georgia?
Yeah, Texas. Was a blow. Yeah, Texas.
Yeah.
And, like, that was a game that was kind of like your trendy pick for them to lose, and they didn't.
Right.
So I think they find a way, and at that point, a 3-loss Ole Miss team, I mean, I just don't see a way in.
No, they wouldn't get in.
With two of their losses being to a LSU team and a god-awful Kentucky team.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm going to have to do that then.
Got to.
You did this on purpose.
You told me the other day that they're going to win. So
no, I said I think that they could win, and I do think they can win. They're playing better than Georgia is right now. They figured some things out.
They got a
big swagger back last weekend.
They're capable of winning this game because they have the defensive line talent.
Here, you know what I'm going to do though. By taking Ole Miss, I have plausible deniability on everything. Like I have reverse jinxed this Ole Miss thing to the I can't do much more.
Yeah.
I said they were going 11-1. I bet on them to win the national title. I'm gonna pick them to win this game. I've done everything I can do.
Just keep picking them to win.
Yeah. All right, so I'll take the Rebels. South Carolina at Vanderbilt.
Ooh, this is an interesting game here.
In soccer terms, we would say this is a tasty fixture here.
This shouldn't be on SEC Network at 3:15.
This is a good game. Texas should be the 3:15 game.
Mm-hmm.
Florida at Texas or Oklahoma at Missouri. It's two unranked teams.
I don't believe, like, I just don't believe in South Carolina being like
they're so up and down.
Like there's too much inconsistencies with this team, and the pattern that we've seen from them is this will be a down week for them. They just got a huge win at home. going on the road against a mentally tough Vanderbilt team that's well coached. That Vanderbilt just does not beat themselves this year. This is a different kind of team. Now they did early on in the season, but I feel like it's like Clark Lee said about this team. Like, he doesn't think they could have beaten Alabama had they not lost the way they did to Missouri or Georgia State, the other loss they had. So I'm taking Vanderbilt. I believe in Vanderbilt at this point. I believe that they are a good team. Like, that's the thing. I don't think there's a fluke thing about this team. I think they're actually a good team.
Yeah.
So I'm taking them, and they've been really good at home.
Yeah, they're the underdog.
Wow.
South Carolina's a 3.5-point favorite. Oh, they were an underdog last week and easily cut.
I cannot count on South Carolina. I just can't.
I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna stay with you on this one. I'm gonna take the Commodores. I don't like that.
You can't make too big of a risk right now.
Like, I'm gonna take two games. This next one's the next one. Number 11 Alabama at number 14 LSU. I don't have a good feeling about this game one way or the other, so I am just gonna pick against you here. So whatever you do, you do. 6:30 kick, ABC. Looking forward to watching that one. Of course, it'll be on at the same time as Mississippi State, so I'll have to quad box or something there. But big game. This is a college football playoff eliminate. This is a college football playoff game.
Yeah.
Because the loser's out.
Loser's out.
The winner is all but like is very likely to be in when you look at the remaining schedule for these two teams. Who do you got?
I'm gonna go with LSU for the simple fact that they're in Tiger Stadium.
Okay.
This is not a great LSU team by any means, but they're really good at home. That weird stuff just happens there. Alabama's too shaky to feel confident in. So I'm going to go with LSU here.
I'll be honest with you. I was kind of leaning towards Alabama just a touch. But I would have gone either way. I'll take Alabama here to get the win. And
LSU still technically could play in the SEC championship.
They could very easily.
That's what's
you know
wild
what's funny
about this.
What is Alabama, if they miss the playoff this year, in his first year, when they have the most Saban players they're ever going to have?
Yeah.
What is that?
Their identity is going to look totally different in the coming years. They are not going to look like they have under Nick Saban. I think it's already slipping a little bit. They're going to be a totally different looking team. You know, the years of them just being this big bad force, like on the defensive side of the ball. Like, I just don't see that same like mentality anymore with them. So I think this is going to be a totally different looking team. I still think they're going to be consistently top 15, top 10. But is that going to be enough to have this fan base, you know, understand this isn't Nick Saban and, you know, be okay with that?
Yeah.
I'm still of the opinion that this guy is going to be the forgettable piece of the Alabama franchise when it's all said and done. Like, I just think Kellen DeBoer is going to be the expendable. He's just going to be he's going to have two or three years where he wasn't that bad, but he wasn't Nick Saban, so they get rid of him.
Exactly. Big news out of A&M just now. Le'Veon Moss out for the season.
Yeah, it was
a big blow.
Well, he got carted off the other day, didn't he? Or something.
I don't know if he got caught. I mean, he was standing on the sidelines during the game.
Yeah, it was apparent it was a serious injury.
That's rough. That's a rough loss for them.
I imagine they're going to start tailing down a little bit.
Well, I mean, you look at their schedule; they should be fine, but until they play Texas, maybe they go 9-3. Who do they have left? A&M has. They're off this week. New Mexico State at Auburn.
Yeah,
they'll go 9-3. That's fine.
Yeah, but it's still. I mean, they're still just not hitting their.
Yeah.
I mean, like the money they're spending.
All right. So we're different on those two. And then Oklahoma at Missouri.
Ugh.
Missouri is going to go 10-2.
And not make the playoff.
Not even be considered for it. If they had just beaten A&M, but they couldn't do that.
Boring.
Hell, I'll go first. Missouri's going to win this game. Oklahoma is awful.
Yeah, I mean, I think, but. Yeah, Oklahoma's played better. I know it was Maine, but they played.
Don't do that.
They did. They looked a lot better offensively against Ole Miss
in the first half.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll go with Missouri, I guess, since it's at home. Is Brady Cook still out?
They haven't said, I don't think.
If he's out, you know, it could be interesting. I just don't know if Oklahoma's got the dudes at this point.
I agree.
I don't know if they had the dudes to beat Missouri. Could we have said that last year?
No. Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU. Robbie will either put it away this weekend or I'll get back into it. We'll see what happens. All right, guys. This is the point in the podcast where if you're listening on audio, we'll now go to our one and only correspondent here on Thunder and Lightning, Future Brian, to recap Mississippi State's college basketball opener against West Georgia. If you're watching us on YouTube, this is the time where we will say goodbye. Talk to you guys later. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Thanks, guys. This is Future Brian reporting to you from the future. Great to be back with you here on Thunder and Lightning for another season of Mississippi State basketball. And it's off to a good start as the Bulldogs take their opener. 95-60 is the final score. State led by as many as 40 in this game. Led by 11 at the break, but really dominated in the second half and pull away from the University of West Georgia. And as I said, a 95-60 win. It was the H&H show at the Hump on Monday night. Josh Hubbard, you probably would have expected it, right? 26 points for him, 10 of 13 shooting, 6 of 7 from behind the arc. But Claude L. Harris Jr., the transfer from Boston College, 20 points, 7 of 11 shooting, 6 of 10 from behind the arc. State, 14 of 30 from deep, but 12 of those makes from those two guys, combining for 46 of State's 95 points. No other Bulldog in double figures, but a number of guys just score on the score sheet tonight. The next leading score, if I had told you, you know, because I'm in the future, you're not. If I told you when these guys recorded that the next two leading scorers were going to be Gal Chole and Sean Jones with 8 apiece, I don't know that anybody would have bought into that. But that's exactly what happened. Those guys had 8. Keyshawn Murphy with 6. Cam Matthews with 5, as well as Michael Nwoko and Martavius Russell. Kanye Clary, 4 points for him. Not a great start to the Bulldog season for Riley Kugel, a guy we all have some pretty high hopes for. Only 2 points for him in 15 minutes of action. Asked about him after the game, and you know, basically Chris Jansen just didn't get off to the kind of start he wanted, but he felt he played well in the second half, and is not worried about him long term. And neither am I. All told for Mississippi State, I'm not even going to do this, but I mean, it looks like, what, 12 guys scored? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 different scorers for the Bulldogs tonight. State shoots 55% from the field, 47% from behind the arc. And your sign of the times, that things never change, 9 of 16 from the free throw line, 56%. Not great. Not great from the free throw line. State out-rebounded in this game, and that was kind of the difference in the first half as West Georgia was able to keep it close. Until a quick, I think, 6-0 run by the Bulldogs to close out the half, pushed the halftime lead to 11. But West Georgia was keeping the game close because they were really good on the boards, especially the offensive boards. Had 8 rebounds offensively in the first half. The main difference in this game was turnovers. State forced 20 turnovers, which led to 31 points off turnovers. 17 steals for the Bulldogs in this game. Defensively, just a different look, and I asked Jans about that afterwards. You know, he said, we just don't have the size and the girth that we've had in years past, so we're going to have to be more active in the passing lanes, more active with our hands. So he was pleased with that opening night effort from his defense. From the offensive standpoint, Harris was just an assassin tonight. That guy couldn't miss it at some times. And then Hubbard is just Hubbard. 26 tonight. Obviously, he's not going to average 26 for the season, but he is going to be. You can just see that he's a little bit stronger, a little more bounce in his step, but a little bit more confidence in his stroke, if such a thing was even possible. 26 points for him. Really great start to the night and to the season for Josh Hubbard. Good game for the Bulldogs. Good crowd. I know they said 9,000 tickets sold. There weren't 9,000 people at the Hump tonight, but the student section was absolutely slam-packed for an opening night game. I thought that was very good. And then, I don't know, did they announce an attendance on this one? It says 91-25. Don't be fooled. There was probably about maybe 6,000 people in there. But that's a good opening night crowd, I thought. And you know, for the first game of the year on a Monday at 6:30 in the middle of November, I mean, yeah, that's a great start to the season for the Bulldogs. So back in action on Friday against Georgia State. That's another 6:30 tip at the Humphrey Coliseum. For the Bulldogs as they look to go 2-0 in the season. I was impressed with the first game. I'm interested to get an answer to this question, and this is what I'm going to ask Robbie you know, I'm already telling you what current Brian is going to ask Robbie. When you play, you don't play your best game and you still win by 35, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is it, you know, hey, we could be so much better, we got to keep working hard, or is it, hey, we didn't have to do very much in this game, we still won by 35? Do you get to overconfident? Do you get overconfident in that? I don't know the answer. I'm sure Jans will be working to keep his team's head from going too far in the clouds. But a good start to the season, 95-60, Bulldogs 1-0 on the year. The guys are gone. I will take you home from here. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.